Let's unite our hearts together, please, in a word of opening prayer. Our eternal God and our Father, we come to Thee this morning to worship Thee. And we ask, O God, that You would be pleased, Lord, to come, be one of our number. Aid us, O God, help us in our worship of Thee this morning. And Lord, we will be careful to give Thee the praise and all of the glory. So hear and answer prayer. Be with us now, in the Saviour's name we ask. Amen. We're going to commence our worship this morning by singing the words of paraphrase number two. God of Bethel, by whose hand thy people still are fed, who through this weary pilgrimage hast all our fathers led. We'll stand together to sing this opening hymn, please. Let's stand to sing. They shall grow not old, as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. We will remember them. Our eternal God and our Father in heaven, We come this Remembrance Sunday to thank Thee, and Lord, to praise Thee for those who gave their lives in defence of our liberties and our freedoms. We thank the Lord for those who laid down their lives, who paid that supreme sacrifice there on the battlefields of Europe, and Lord, even closer to home as well. Lord, we thank Thee today for those who died, that we might enjoy the freedoms that we have today. Lord, we honor them. We salute them today. And Heavenly Father, we pray that today for those who are left behind, Lord, for those family members of those who died in conflicts in past years and in more recent times, Lord, whose hearts are heavy and sad today, there is that empty seat. Lord, there is that emptiness even in hearts today. Oh God, we pray You'll remember the bereaved. Oh, remember today those who are still suffering the effects of war and battle. Lord, we pray that You'll strengthen them in their bodies. Lord, that at this time they may know the strength of Almighty God. Our Father, today we pray that You'll take of our thanks for all those who died in the defense of our freedoms. And Heavenly Father, may we never forget their sacrifice. May we never take for granted, Lord, the opportunity that is ours to come and to worship Thee openly and publicly. May we ever defend them. Lord, may we ever cherish these liberties that we have. And so, our Father, we pray that You'll bless us today. As, Lord, we come to worship Thee in this public manner, Lord, keep Your hand upon us. May we know the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Speak to our hearts today. Bless us throughout this day. And Heavenly Father, we pray that this will be a day when all of our hearts will be turned to remember the One who paid the greatest of all sacrifices, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the One who died that we might live. O God, we thank Thee today for Calvary. We thank the Lord for that once-for-all sacrifice that He offered for sin. And Lord, we thank Thee today that now He is reigning supreme over the affairs of men and nations. May our eyes be turned to Thee today. Answer prayer and be with us now. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. I ask you please to turn with me in the Word of God this morning for our scripture reading to the book of Genesis and to the chapter 37. Genesis and the chapter 37. We're continuing on this morning with the series of Help for Hurting Christians. And we're going to look today at the subject of dealing with disappointment. And we pray the Lord will bless us even as we consider this subject. There's two short scripture readings this morning, Genesis chapter 37. First of all, from verse 23 down to the end of verse 28. And then over in chapter 39, the first six verses. Genesis 37, first of all, and the verse 23. We come to look at the life of Joseph here. Genesis chapter 37 and the verse 23. And it came to pass when Joseph was come unto his brethren that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit. And the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content. Then there passed by Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. Then turn over to chapter 39, chapter 39 in the verse number 1, And now we find Joseph in Egypt at this point. Let's read together the first six verses, Genesis chapter 39 and the verse number 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. And he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. Amen. May the Lord be pleased to bless the reading of his word to our hearts. At this stage, let me bid you all a very warm, sincere word of welcome along to our morning service. We're glad to see you all in God's house today, and to those as well who are watching online, we welcome you in the Savior's name. To any who may be visiting, we welcome you as well in the Savior's great name. Now, today is the second Lord's Day of the month. That means it is Missionary Council retiring offering Sunday, so please do remember that. The box is there as you leave, and all the money in the box goes to support the work of the Missionary Council. Our Sunday school in Hollywood this afternoon, 2:30, and then we have back in the church here tonight at 6:30 our annual remembrance and wreath laying service. Unfortunately, because again the restrictions we're under this year, we can't have all those laying wreaths that we normally would have, but a number will be here to lay wreaths in remembrance tonight. So I trust you'll come and join with us. There will be a number of seats, pews kept free for those who are laying wreaths, so please do bear that in mind. But you come and you will get a seat most certainly. So please do plan to be with us, and why not even invite someone along tonight to the special remembrance and wreath laying ceremony. Tuesday morning we have our outreach meeting here at the church again at 10 a.m. And then on Tuesday night at 7, that's the Explorers Club here in the church. Thursday night will be by form of a deputation meeting, and that is on behalf of the Trinitarian Bible Society. Trinitarian Bible Society, you know them well, I'm sure, but they are one of the very few Bible societies in our country that hold only to the authorized version of the Scriptures. And so we support them as we can. And so our brother, the Reverend Craig Dennison, one of their deputation speakers, will be here to speak on Thursday evening. There will also be an offering that will be after the meeting that you can support the work of the Trinitarian Bible Society. So please come along, hear of the work they're involved in, translating the Bible into many, many different languages. And we will be blessed as we hear of what the Lord is doing for the work of TBS. Now, this Thursday normally would have been the Lord's Table, being the third Thursday night of the month. But because of the deputation meeting, we're putting that back a week, and the Lord's Table will be held on Thursday night week instead. Next Sunday, the services 10:15, Sunday School Bible class, 11:30, morning worship, 2:30, our Hollywood Sunday School, and 6:30, our gospel service. I'll be here to preach at those meetings, and our brother Jonathan Logan will be here to sing in the evening time next Sunday. Just a few other announcements, please do remember. This is the last week for you to bring in your shoe boxes for the appeal for Portugal for our brother, the Reverend Ronnie McCracken. So if you haven't had that opportunity as yet to bring in, I know many have, and there are many, many items there for giving out to our brother Ronnie. And thank you sincerely for all that you've brought in. But if you still have yet to bring yours in, if you could do that by next Sunday, please, at the very latest, and then we will get everything over to Ronnie as soon as possible. For our elders and deacons, please do remember that we have a committee meeting on Tuesday the 23rd of November at 8 p.m. Do remember those who need our prayers. Pray for our brother Tom Patterson, and Deborah and Betty Sands as well, and others who need our prayers at this time. Again, we remind you that there are no offerings being lifted up at this stage, but you can place your offerings in the boxes as you leave. We're going to sing another hymn together. It's the hymn number 389. 389, Dying with Jesus by Death Reckoned Mine, Living with Jesus a New Life Divine, Looking to Jesus to glory doth shine, Moment by moment, O Lord, I am thine. We'll stand together as we sing this hymn, and let's sing it as unto the Lord. Let's stand and sing. tremendous hymn. It reminds us of the truth that the Lord is with us at all times. We're always in His care. We're turning to Genesis chapter 39, please, this morning. We will look back as well at Genesis 37. We come today to deal with the subject of dealing with disappointment. Help for hurting Christians and dealing with the matter of disappointment. And we will look at the life of Joseph, and we pray the Lord will speak to our hearts even as we deal with this subject this morning. But before we come to God's Word, can I ask you please to join with me in a word of prayer as we seek for His presence and for His help around His Word. Let's all pray. Heavenly Father, we come to Thee today. Lord, we're very conscious again of just how much we need Thee. O God, we thank Thee today that moment by moment we are kept in Thy love. And O God, we pray that now for this time, for this moment, Lord, we need Thee. Come, O God, we pray. Open, Lord, our hearts to the Word of God. Lord, open this book to our hearts, O God, we pray. And Heavenly Father, there will be that word in season to all of our hearts. Come, O God, with that healing balm. Come, O God, today. Pour in the oil of joy today. And Heavenly Father, we pray that we might be very conscious of the Lord's presence and of His nearness. Come, O God, give us help to preach. Help to rightly divide the Scriptures of truth. Give us help as well to hear. And may Thy name, the name of our Savior, be glorified in all that we do and say. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen. I wonder how often in 2021 have you been disappointed? You've been disappointed perhaps with yourself. Maybe disappointed because of others. We all know what disappointment and discouragement is. Maybe you had high hopes for someone, yet they disappointed you. Maybe another Christian has brought disappointment to your life. Maybe the church has disappointed you. Maybe I have disappointed you. Maybe you've had high expectations of a certain situation, and they didn't materialize the way you thought they would. You see, disappointments can come in all sorts of ways and because of all types of situations. I dare say today that there is no one in this congregation this morning who has not at some time in their life been disappointed. And that disappointment at times can be so great because it hurts. And perhaps even this morning as you sit here in God's house, you feel the hurt of disappointment. It's affecting you. Well, this morning I want you to see that there is a way that we can deal with disappointment. There is healing for the hurting. And that healing comes from the Scriptures. It's biblical, scriptural help that we can all experience because of disappointment. And so to consider this subject, I want us to look for a time this morning at the life of Joseph. Joseph experienced disappointment. The last 13 chapters or so of the book of Genesis deals extensively with the life of this man, Joseph. His life is a wonderful study in itself. He was born into prominence in Canaan and sold into slavery in Egypt and then rose to be the most powerful man in the land. The time doesn't permit us today, but Joseph is a wonderful type of Christ in the Bible. And so as we look at the life of Joseph and how he dealt with disappointment in his life, we are considering a Christ-like approach to dealing with disappointment. Because you know Christ Himself in His humanity was disappointed as well. Even those so close to Him, like Judas Iscariot, so plausible, the very one who went on to betray the Lord. As we come to Genesis 39, we find that the situation in Joseph's life has changed dramatically. Joseph goes from being the favored son now to the fellow slave. Oh, no longer is he wearing the coat of many colors, but now he's wearing the rags of a prison inmate. And all of this happened because of his own kith and kin. His own family. He suffered great disappointment from his own blood, his own brothers. I want us to consider some things about this disappointment today. And the first thing I want you to see here is the root of this disappointment. The root of this disappointment. Where did it all come from? Well, turn back, if you will, please, to Genesis 37. Genesis 37 and the verse number 11. Genesis 37 and the verse number 11. We read there that his brethren envied him. That is, Joseph's brethren envied Joseph. In fact, in three other occasions, we are told that they hated him. Verse 4 of the same chapter. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him. Verse 5 as well. They hated him yet the more. And also in verse number 8, they hated him yet the more. Joseph, no doubt, was the favorite son. And this caused friction in the family. Now, Jacob, his father, of course, was wrong to show favoritism to his youngest son. His actions were unwise. They were foolish. Showing favoritism within a family is a recipe for disaster. And we as parents need to treat our children the same, with the same love and with the same affection, because to do otherwise can create issues. But as we consider the root of this disappointment, I want you to see the folly of it. Yes, Jacob was foolish in his actions, in what he did in showing favoritism to Joseph. But that did not grant him or his brothers the right to mistreat their brother in the way they did. Envy and hatred marked the lives of Joseph's brothers, and that was wrong, and two wrongs never make a right. The wrong actions of another do not give us merit or do not give us warrant to carry out wrong to someone else. You see, even though others may do wrong and live wrongly, act wrongly, we must guard our own lives. We must protect our own walk with God. We must ensure that we do nothing to allow the wrong actions of others to hinder us or to hold us back in our living for God and doing what we know to be right. You see, Joseph's brethren were just as wrong as Joseph's father. So the folly of the root of this disappointment. But notice then the fruit of it. What happened? They hated him. They had wrong thoughts toward Joseph. That then led to wrong actions. Look at verse 18. Genesis 37 and the verse 18. And when they saw him, that is Joseph, afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. They were going to deal with Joseph. Do you see the follow-on from wrong thoughts here? Evil thoughts, evil words. And then come down into verse 20, we see now evil actions. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him. They were going to kill their own brother and cast him into some pit, and we will say some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. Hatred, envy, took one step more to a desire to murder and kill. And that's what they did. Look at verse 23. It came to pass when Joseph was come unto his brethren that they stripped Joseph out of his coat. You'll know, of course, it was the coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. Now, I don't know exactly what was in their minds just right at this point of time, but I would suggest that they were going to allow Joseph to stay in that pit and let him starve himself to death. And look what they did in verse 25. They've taken Joseph, they've put him into this pit. Verse 25, they sat down to eat bread as if nothing had happened. As if nothing had just taken place. An evil conscience so seared and so unmoved by what they had done to their brother. But look what they did then. And they looked, and behold, verse 25, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels, bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content. Well, they didn't want to kill him, but they were happy enough for someone else to do the job. And so they sell Joseph. And they make money out of him. And they're going to try to cover their tracks. I say all this by way of context as to why Joseph found himself in the place that he did. And I come back to the point that I made a moment ago. The actions of Joseph's brothers were wrong. Just because their father loved Joseph more than he loved the rest of them, that was wrong as well. But that didn't mean that they should take the law into their own hands and deal with Joseph. That's what they did. Because they're so filled with rage and envy and jealousy, they see no wrong in themselves. And it doesn't stop there. Because look in verse 27. Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites. Let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. Then there passed by Midianites merchantmen, and they drew up Joseph and lifted him out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph in to Egypt. Now they're making money on the back of their sinful actions. Do you see, folks, there is no knowing where sin, rage, and envy, and hatred, and jealousy will take you to. And it gets worse. Because now they tell lies to cover up their tracks. And in the verses that remain in verse chapter 37, they plot up this plan as to how they're going to tell their father what has happened. They're going to kill an animal. They're going to dip Joseph's coat in the blood of that animal and say that he was killed by a wild beast. Sin will always take you further than you want to go. They never planned this was how it was going to work out. But sin of envy, bitterness led to deceit and deception. How important it is, I say, folks, again, to guard your own heart. Even if hurt and harm has been done to you by others, guard your own heart. Guard your own heart. His brothers turned on Joseph. They were wrong. That was the root of this disappointment. Let's come now and consider really what is the substance of our message today. Then secondly, the response to this disappointment. So Joseph has been brought to Egypt. In chapter 39, we read that he was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. Here's now Joseph in this strange land. He's a slave. And he's there, why? Because of the actions of his own brothers. How did he respond to this? What did he do to deal with this? Well, as we consider his response, I want you to see, first of all, his character. Look at verse 3. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. His master, his Egyptian master, saw something in Joseph. He realized the Lord is with him. Joseph, by his godly conduct and his character, it shone through for the Lord. You see, Joseph's in Egypt now, being hurt and harmed by his brothers, his own flesh and blood, and yet he has guarded his own life and his own walk with God. Because the testimony is that the Lord was with him. You see, Joseph didn't turn away from God when others had done harm to him. Joseph was disappointed, hurt by the actions of his brothers, but he didn't give up in his service and his living for God, even though he suffered great disappointment. And sadly today, how many Christians are in a far country today because they blame another Christian. And they fail to guard their own hearts. It's very clear that Joseph continued to live his life for God. In verse number 2, we see that the Lord was with Joseph. He was a prosperous man. He was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. Potiphar, an ungodly man, saw the Lord's presence in this man's life. You know, whenever Joseph arrived in Egypt, he had lost everything. He lost everything. He lost his family. He lost his possession. He lost his friends. And yet, he didn't lose the presence of the Lord. He didn't lose it because he sought for it. He longed for it. He didn't sit down in Egypt and get cross with God and get angry with God. I believe that in verse 2 of chapter 39, we get a sense of just how much Joseph realized he needed God more than ever. Here he was in a strange country, a sinful country, and he had a choice to make. And we know he was not there because of his own doings. He was there because of the evil actions of his brothers. But he himself, Joseph himself, had a choice. How do I deal with this situation? You see, he could either have turned very bitter against God and leave off God, have nothing to do with God. How can God allow such a thing to happen to me? Or he could seek by the presence and the power of God to rise above the situations and to keep living on for God. He had a choice. He had a choice either to become bitter or to become better. And dear believer, faced with the discouragements and the disappointments of this life, and yes, perhaps even the disappointments and the discouragements of your own brothers or sisters in Christ, you and I have a choice to make as well. Either to allow that disappointment to make us bitter, to drift from God, to get away from God, or like Joseph, respond by seeking to do better. Rise above the disappointments by leaning, longing for God's presence and His power. Joseph did not feel resentment against his brothers. From a human point of view, he had every right to do so. He did not question God, "Why am I here?" Maybe you feel resentment towards someone today who has harmed you, who has disappointed you. And that disappointment can hurt you and eat away at you and gnaw at your joy. Can I urge you today, don't allow destructive forces to flourish in your life. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. But as Paul exhorts us, put away all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking. So that's what Joseph did. You think of it. How he responded to this awful situation was the most powerful witness to the most ungodly man in all of Egypt, Potiphar. Because if Joseph had sat there and started to turn from God and say all things, sorts of things against God, that would not have been any witness for God. And even though he experienced great disappointment and great hurt, inflicted by his own family, remember, yet he conducted his life in such a godly, Christ-like manner that the ungodly saw Christ in his life. The Lord's prosperity was with him as well. Verse 2, he was a prosperous man, not in material things, because he hadn't anything. He had the presence of God, and he was richer than a millionaire. And you know, because of this simple reliance and dependence on the Lord, Joseph was able to turn that prison into a palace. He was able to make his situation in slavery far better than the situations of his brothers who were in freedom. F.B. Meyer, the commentator, said, "Who would not rather, after all, choose to be with Joseph in Egypt with God than the brothers with a blood-stained garments in their hands and a sense of guilt without God?" God's presence made the difference. Joseph had a clear conscience before his fellow man, but most especially before God. Because he guarded his life. We see his character. And flowing on from that, we see his conduct. Joseph displayed great Christian character in Egypt despite the disappointment, but he also displayed great Christian conduct. Because he was about to have all the forces of hell unleashed upon him. Potiphar's wife now seeks to seduce him and tempt him into a sinful relationship with her. Look in verse 7. "Came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, 'Lie with me.' Joseph refused." Verse number 10, she kept on going. "It came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day, day by day, But he refused. And it didn't work. But then her lusting soon turned into loathing. And she sought then to work his downfall. Look at verse 14. She called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, "See, he hath brought in an Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice." Never let the truth get in the way of a good story. A barefaced lie. Yet through all of this, Joseph's character, his conduct shone through. He was being mocked. He was being lied about. All sorts of allegations were being thrown towards him. Joseph had lost his cloak, but he had not lost his character. He had kept his purity, but he was now about to lose his position. He'd been dumped into a pit by his brothers, but now he was about to be thrown into a prison by his boss. So be it. So be it. That was the response to this disappointment. You see how things could have been so different? How Genesis 39 could have turned out so differently? If Joseph had failed to guard his own walk with God, if Joseph had allowed the situation and the disappointment that he found himself in to overtake him, to overcome him, to rule him, it would ruin him. But he just responded with simple faith and dependence on God. The root of this disappointment and the response to it. But I want you to see as well now the resolve, despite this disappointment. The resolve, despite this disappointment. You see, Joseph, despite the betrayal at the hands of his brothers, despite the temptation and the lies directed toward him by Potiphar's wife, he still displayed tremendous resolve. I want us all to think as to how we might have reacted in a situation such as this. Get your own back. Speak up. Seek punishment. Seek revenge. Yet none of those emotions, none of those desires are seen here in Joseph. He simply remained resolved by remaining silent. Not a word of defense, not a word of explanation. His reward for his resolve, what was it? He was thrown into prison. Look at verse 20. Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in prison. Think about it. How could this be? He was living right. He was doing right. Is this what happens to the godly who do right, who live right in the sight of God? How could this bad thing happen to this good man? How and why? You see, bad things happen to good people, not because they're doing something wrong, but because they're doing something right. Joseph had lost his reputation. He was accused of the very thing that he refused to do, but God knew the truth. And folks, don't be worried so much about your reputation. That is what others think about you. Potiphar believed the lies of his wife. Don't be worried about what others think about you. Your testimony, your character before God is of utmost importance. It's what God thinks of you that's so important. Take care of your character. God will take care of your reputation. He lost his job. You see, he had to choose between his job and his Savior. He chose the Lord. because the Lord never let him down, never disappointed him. There's a constant theme throughout Genesis 39, and that's the theme of the Lord's presence being with him. In verse 2, we read of it. Verse 3, we read of it. Verse 5, we read of it. Verse 21, we read the Lord was with Joseph. And in verse 23, the very end of the chapter, again, the Lord was with him. The Lord never left him. Joseph, by this stage in his life, as we come to Genesis 39 in the verse 20, he was forsaken by everybody now. His family, his friends, and now his employer. But he was never forsaken by the Lord. You see, in all of this affliction, in the pit, in the palace, and now in the prison, the Lord was working out God's perfect plan for Joseph. You see, this is another Romans 8:28 moment. He experienced disappointment. He suffered dishonesty and lies. He experienced deception. Yet the Lord was working through all these disappointments and preparing Joseph for a time when he would be promoted to top position in the land. You see, in every situation that he had to deal with, he determined that he would be the best Christian he could possibly be. In the pit, in the palace, and now in the prison, he determined, I'm going to live for God, no matter what others have done, no matter how much disappointment I've experienced. He wasn't going to wallow in self-pity. He didn't seek revenge. What did he do? What did he do? And folks, this is no get-out clause. This, I believe, is how we should respond. When disappointments and hurt comes our way, leave them to the Lord. Experience what Moses was told. In Exodus 14, the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Joseph didn't get his best lawyer. He didn't go to the courts. Many love to go to the courts to get at somebody. He just left it with the Lord, the judge of all the earth, he'll do right. And folks, today, leave things with the Lord. The hurt from his brothers, the hatred of Potiphar's wife, his time in the prison, he left it with the Lord. God was in all of this. You see, some people might have asked, where was God in all of this? Where God has always been reigning and ruling supreme in all the affairs. The parents of a little boy killed in a very tragic car crash. They turned very bitter against the Lord, and their heart was breaking. That is understandable, but they were very bitter against the Lord. The pastor came to see them and sought to bring some words of comfort, and the mother turned to the pastor. But she was very angry. And she said, where was God when my son died? And the pastor said, he's in the same place he was when his own son died. He's on the throne, ruling, reigning, supreme. Working through the hard, the difficult times. God's still on the throne today. And God is still remembering his own. Just as he was for Joseph. I know many are hurting because of great disappointments. And the actions and the inactions of others have disappointed you. If there's any consolation I personally can share with you in that experience. Great disappointments and big discouragements. Yet may we all, like Joseph today, determine not to allow these things to distract us or to keep us from going on with God. Leave him with the Lord. That's what Joseph did. Turn over, if you will, please, as we finish to Genesis 50. Almost now at the end of his life. And after all of these years, his brothers have finally had a change of heart. And they come now to seek forgiveness from Joseph for what they have done. And Joseph, verse 19, Genesis 50 and the verse 19. And Joseph said unto them, that's unto his brothers, fear not, for am I in the place of God? Imagine. They had their plans, but God had his plans. God's plans always come out on top. And Joseph, throughout all of his time, let the Lord mete out the revenge and deal with the punishment. But these brothers now eventually were humbled and brought low. The Lord took care of it. It didn't happen immediately, but it happened. And you know, in all of this, he could see the providential hand of God, because look at verse 20. Genesis 50, verse 20. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. Joseph looked into the eyes of his brothers and said, you wanted to kill me. You wanted to harm me. You wanted to hurt me. He could look into the eyes of Potiphar's wife and say, you wanted to bring me down. You falsely accused me, and I got thrown into prison. But he could look into all of their eyes and say, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. God was at the center of his life. God was ruling, God was reigning supreme in his life. He guarded his own spiritual life. He guarded his own walk with God. And no matter, folks, what others may do to you or to me, it is so important that we do not allow those disappointments or those distractions to hinder us in our living for God. Because as you walk with him, he will never disappoint you. Remember, you're not living for man. You're not living for a church. You're not working for an organization. You're serving Christ. He's the perfect master. Oh, keep your eyes on him, because he never disappoints you. He is no disappointment. Joseph realized that. Joseph experienced that. And all those plans that were meant for evil, God meant it for good. Through it all, he sought to live for God. Through it all, he lived his life for God, and his life was an open testimony and an open book. Because the ungodly saw that the Lord was with him. May we have such a Christ-like approach in dealing with disappointments too. I know the hurt it can bring, but Christ is no disappointment. Keep your eyes on Him. Keep serving Him. Keep working for Him. Keep living for Him. He will never disappoint you. He will bring you through every bad thing, every hard thing. He will bring you through. Let's bow in prayer. Our eternal God and our Father in heaven, we thank Thee today for the encouragement and, yes, the challenge of this man, Joseph. Lord, how, in spite of all the hurt and harm that was done to him, how he sought to live for God, how he sought to guard his own walk with God. Oh God, we pray that You'll give us that desire, Lord, to guard and to keep close and short accounts with Thee. Oh God, we pray that today, that through every hard time, Lord, through every hurtful time, may we get our eyes of man and get our eyes on Christ, because You are no disappointment. Be with us, help us, we pray. Lord, draw very near today and speak to all of our hearts. In the Savior's name we pray.